Alan Lomax, musicologist and collector of folk music and folklore, died on July 19, 2002, at the age of 87. Since his teenage years, lugging a hefty sound recorder through the rural South and West with his father, Lomax had worked tirelessly to preserve the creative output of hundreds of American folk singers, musicians, and storytellers. Over his long and incredibly productive life, Lomax recorded the songs and music of prisoners, gospel choirs, New Orleans jazz composers, cotton-picking blues singers, Cajun fiddlers, Dust Bowl balladeers, and country music performers. He recorded the early works of Leadbelly, Muddy Waters, and Woody Guthrie, among others. Studs Terkel called Lomax a key figure in 20th century culture. Bob Dylan described him as a missionary. Here, historian Benjamin Filene offers a fresh perspective on Alan Lomax and his legacy.
The first and only time I talked to Alan Lomax, he wanted to hit me in the face. As a graduate student, I sent him an article I had written that analyzed his and his father's relationship with the singer Leadbelly, and I asked for an interview. An irate phone call followed. "I don't want to talk to you. I want to punch you in the nose." Since his death on July 19th, Alan Lomax has been lauded for preserving folk music voices that might otherwise have been lost to time. Indeed, Lomax was the first to understand fully that the recording machine could save nuggets of tradition from the flood of popular culture that threatened to wash them away, and the first with the savvy to use mass media to spread the word about the riches he had retrieved. He also was a tireless seeker of sounds, the first to thrust a microphone before Woody Guthrie, Muddy Waters, Leadbelly, and countless hundreds of other musicians in prisons, shacks, and shanties who became part of America's folk music fabric. Lomax was comfortable discussing and taking credit for his role in, quote, discovering musicians and preserving tradition. But, as my telephone encounter with him suggests, he didn't like to acknowledge his role as a creator of tradition. In truth, though, the cultural filtering that Lomax did in the course of a lifetime of listening, recording, and promoting is perhaps his most powerful legacy. He deserves recognition for establishing the notion that there is such a thing as an American folk music tradition and for delineating the contours of that tradition as we understand it today. Lomax was not a dispassionate documentarian. He was a canon builder, an advocate, and, not the least, a promoter of a vision of what American music is and isn't. Lomax and his father, John, made the decisive break with the notion that folk songs existed only in the distant past. Most collectors before them had scoured the Appalachians looking for vestiges of British ballads, particularly those codified in the late 19th century by Francis Child. The Lomaxes insisted that folk music was a living tradition and that America had its own vibrant strains. Alan, in particular, placed African-American music squarely at the center of the nation's musical heritage, a dramatic reordering of the canon that had incalculable influence. He saw folk music not as a dusty relic, but a coursing stream, one that could nourish a mainstream society sadly in need of vitality. Even so, Lomax was always ambivalent about some of the directions that stream threatened to drift. Not all cultural adaptations were equal in his book. On field recording expeditions, he guided musicians to repertoire that he saw as traditional, rejecting the pop hits they often offered him first. In his popular songbooks, he pieced together the best lyrics of songs from multiple versions, often copywriting the results. And in writings and interviews, he conjured up heartfelt but romanticized visions of the musicians he treasured, most baldly in the stereotype portrayals of Leadbelly he and his father hyped in the 1930s, but continuing through his National Book Award-winning account, Land Where the Blues Began, from 1993. Lomax saw traditional music as a rough-edged challenge to homogenizing mass culture, and he preferred the musicians themselves to have raw emotiveness as well. The result was an aesthetic of remarkable power, an emphasis on authenticity both in sound and personal demeanor. Lomax offered middle-class white audiences pathways into the foreign worlds of the folk and suggested what they should look for when they got there. Unbridled passion, unselfconscious expression, the scent of violence. Today, this cult of authenticity penetrates not only folk revival circles, but musical scenes from alternative country to gangster rap. Everyone thirsts for the real thing. Alan Lomax certainly did not create the cult of authenticity single-handedly, but more than any other individual in the 20th century, he fanned the flames of dissatisfaction with mass-produced music and urged his followers to find a more pure way. He was a missionary more than a reporter.
You have been listening to Benjamin Filene recalling the life and legacy of American musicologist and folk music collector Alan Lomax. Filene, exhibit curator at the Minnesota Historical Society, is the author of Romancing the Folk, Public Memory and American Roots Music, published by the University of North Carolina Press. The book was named Notable Book of the Year by the New York Times in 2000. It also won the American Society of Composers, Authors, and Publishers Deems Taylor Award for outstanding writing about popular music.
Oh, the sun's going down and I won't be here long. Oh, the sun's going down and I won't be here long. Oh, then I'll be going home. Oh, I can't let this dark cloud catch me yet.